Greetings, dear friends, and the Savior's worthy name. In that the Bible does not teach us about a general resurrection and a general judgment, we have devoted a number of broadcasts to looking into the various judgments that the Bible does speak of. One such judgment we find in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead which were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In order to distinguish between the various judgments that the Bible teaches us about, we have been asking four questions about each one of the judgments that we have considered on some of our recent broadcasts. First of all, we talked about the judgment of the Son of God at Calvary. And one of the questions we asked, who was affected? Well, Christians were affected, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ, because we who are Christians today, every Christian that's lived since the death of Christ, we were judged in Christ. Where did this judgment take place? Well, obviously it took place at Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. When? About A.D. 33, almost 2,000 years ago. And what were the results? Well, for him, it was death. For us, it was life, eternal life, an abundant life. We read from 2 Corinthians, "For he hath made him, that is, God the Father hath made the Son to be sin for us. He, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." By review, the second judgment that we considered was judgment of sin in the believer. Who are those affected with this judgment? Again, very obviously, it's Christians, those of us who have been saved by the grace of God. When does this take place? Well, at any time. And whereabouts? At any place. What are the results of this type of judgment? Well, it's chastisement by the Lord upon the Christian if we judge not ourselves. From Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 5 to 7, we read about this judgment, and we read that whom he loves, he chastens, he judges, he disciplines. Not that he sends them to hell, but he disciplines them and chastises them for sin in the believer's life. Another judgment that we have considered during some of our recent broadcasts is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is a judgment for the life of the believer, a judgment for the life of the Christian. So again, quite obviously, it is the believers, the Christians, the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ that is being judged at this time. Where does this judgment take place? Well, it's different from those two we just mentioned because it takes place in the air. When does it take place? Following the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away his church from the earth. We refer to that as the rapture or the great catching up or calling away of true believers. The result? Well, it will be either reward or loss for the believer, depending upon his service for the Lord Jesus after he became a child of God. Friends, we're not saved by our good works, but once we've been saved by the grace of God, we are saved unto good works. And though some at that judgment seat of Christ will suffer loss, the Scripture goes on to say, they will be saved, yet so as by fire. From 2 Corinthians we read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that is, all who are Christians." And from 1 Corinthians 3, "That every man's work shall be tried by this fire." And then there's another judgment that we have considered, perhaps a little more complicated, a little more confusing. Often it is classified right along with the Great White Throne Judgment, but it's called the Judgment of the Nations. And you can read about this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We're just reviewing today, so we're touching on each one of these till we get to the Great White Throne Judgment, about which we read in Revelation 20 a few moments ago. But at the Judgment of the Nations described for us in Matthew 25, it's very obvious who the subject is, the subjects of this judgment, and it's the nations of the world. This judgment, according to Matthew 25, takes place on the earth, the judgment seat of Christ taking place in the air, but the judgment of the nations taking place on the earth at the glorious appearing of Christ following the great tribulation. Now, this is distinguished quite evidently from the judgment seat of Christ that takes place right after he comes back to gather to himself his own church, the believers, the Christians, but down on the earth, as the old saying goes on the radio in the old Western story, meanwhile back at the ranch, meanwhile back on the earth, there will be the judgment of the great tribulation. Following that, the glorious appearing of Christ with his church, and the judgment of the nations will take place. And it will affect, again, we've already mentioned, the nations of the world, and it will be based upon their treatment of the Jews, God's chosen earthly people, during that time of the great tribulation. The result will be some will be saved, others lost. But, again, up to this point we have been reviewing, and even in our last broadcast we spent some time on the Great White Throne Judgment. But we want to go on just a little further in that. And who are those who are standing before this great white throne, a time of tremendous, awesome judgment? They are the lost of all ages. Where will this judgment take place? Well, it'll take place in outer space, because the scripture says there's no place found for them. Heaven and earth have fled away. They will be standing guilty, without defense, without a mediator. Praise God, we who are in Christ have a mediator, an advocate, a great high priest, the Lord Jesus. Not so with those who stand before the great white throne. When? We cannot pinpoint this date. All we know is that it is a date determined by God following what we read about in the Word of God as the millennium or the millennial reign of Christ. And what are the results of this judgment? We read it, did we not, from Revelation 20 and 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Some considerations about this great white throne judgment. First of all, why is it called great? Well, as you know, the word great is greatly abused today. All political leaders and all commercial products are the greatest. But I'd like to tell you that this will be a great white throne. It's great because of the magnitude of people who will be there. The scripture says the dead, small and great, the paupers and the princes, the drunkards and the kings, they'll all be there who have rejected our Christ and died in their sin. Even the sea will give up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivers up the dead which are in them. Yes, there will be a great resurrection, and all the dead will be resurrected, bodies brought back, all the elements that are decayed by the mighty chemist, our God, will cause the dead, small and great, to stand before him. And if for no other reason, it would be great because of the tremendous amount of people who will stand before God at that time. It'll be great also because of its purpose. It'll be God's final means of executing not just judgment, but justice on those who refuse his mercy and his grace. I have a relative who tells me he wants nothing but justice from Almighty God. Friend of mine, please don't ever say that. God forbid that you or I should get justice. Plead the mercy of God. Throw yourself before God and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, the sinner, and save me by your grace. Justice meets out exactly what you deserve. And friend of mine, if you die in your sins, you'll get the justice of God, the wrath of God, the judgment of God. But it need not be so, because today, if you can hear my voice, you're still in the body. You're still alive. and you're able to make a discernment, a judgment, and you're able to come with all of your guilt and need, throw yourself at the feet of the Savior, the one who suffered and bled and died, that he might give you his gift of eternal life. When he died on the cross, he died for all sin, for all time. He took your judgment. He bore your hell. He took the wrath of God in his holy soul, that friends living in this life, at this very moment, might receive his gift and know every sin forgiven through the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. When those great books are opened, and that life of yours, every detail, you know, we used to wonder how on earth anybody, even God Almighty, could keep up with the very thoughts, the very intent of our heart. And yet man has come up with such tremendous accomplishments in the way of computers. Man can store such tremendous amounts, millions and millions of digits of information upon computer banks. Friend of mine, it's no problem to Almighty God to keep up with your every action, your every thought, your every motive, your every intent you ever had. And someday these books are going to be open. And when your name is found lacking in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's not works that will get you into heaven, but it's works that will reveal to God that you went through life rejecting Christ and dying in your sin. And whosoever is not found written in the Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire. Friend of mine, this great white throne judgment is also great because of the very man who sits there, because of the judge himself, because he's none less than the one who was the teeny baby of Bethlehem's manger. He's none less than the young boy who worked at Joseph's side in the carpentry shop. He's none less than Jesus, the lowly Nazarene, who healed the sick and cleansed the leper. He's none less than the suffering Savior who was betrayed, despised, cursed, spit upon, abused, beaten, and nailed to a cross called Calvary's cross. Friend of mine, he's the one whose body lay dead for 3 days, cold and motionless in a damp, dank Judean tomb. Praise God, he is the very one who arose and ascended, and he's now seated at the Father's right hand of glory. He is the eternal God, and he's the one who is saying to you, friend, come unto me. Today I'll be your Savior. Tomorrow I'll have to be your judge. And at that time, if you've died in your sin, if you've rejected my love, if you've spurned my mercy, if you've cared not for my grace, if you've trampled underfoot the precious blood that I shed at Calvary, friend of mine, you'll leave me on no alternative. You will be the one who made the choice. You made the choice to reject Christ, and in so doing, you have chose to spend eternity in the burnings of the eternal wrath of God, cast into the lake of fire. For whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire, and the Scripture says they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Friend of mine, God has provided you with his best. God has offered you his choice, his son, the darling of his bosom. There's none like him. Why don't you today flee the wrath to come? As the prophet of old says, prepare to meet thy God. Because, friends, you're going to meet him. Prepare to not. He provided for you salvation. He has prepared a way whereby you can come to him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the children of God, the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Trust the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says you'll be saved. Call us today, friend of mine, if we can help. And the Lord bless you. Amen.